From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, December 10th. I'm Abby Larico. Mike Parson is winding down his term as Missouri's 57th governor. Come January, he will be replaced by Mike Kehoe. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg and Jason Rosenbaum sat down for an interview with Parson to discuss his time as governor.
Somebody had to settle this state down. Somebody had to be the captain of the ship. And somebody had to get us on the right track.
That conversation coming up after this news on The Gateway. Another local catering company is facing legal troubles in an ongoing E. coli outbreak. Lawyers filed suit against Conchetta's Catering in St. Charles on behalf of a teacher listed as an employee in the Francis Howell School District. The suit claims she ate salad the company served at a parent-teacher conference last month and wound up hospitalized with severe complications from E. coli. Her husband is also a plaintiff in the suit. KMOV reports the St. Charles County Health Department confirms investigating 10 cases of E. coli last month, but has yet to identify the source. The Francis Howell School District also says it's cooperating with the Health Department investigation and there's no outbreak among employees. The St. Louis County Health Department linked more than 24 E. coli cases last month to local company Andre's Banquets and Catering and several events at Rockwood Summit High School. The same strain that sickened at least 115 people in the region is tied to outbreaks across the Midwest. The FDA and CDC have identified a contaminated iceberg romaine lettuce blend as the source of the infections. A Jefferson County man is suing the city of St. Louis, 9 sheriff's deputies, and 5 police officers in federal court for allegedly beating him, improperly detaining him, and illegally seizing his property. The suit centers around an incident in April of 2023. It alleges Christopher Williams, who is physically disabled, was standing outside the St. Louis Civil Courts building, holding up a sign in protest of Donald Trump's run for president, when several sheriff's deputies attempted to remove him from the courthouse steps. When Williams asserted his right to be there and did not stop recording with a camera on his hat, he claims he was pushed to the ground, arrested, and illegally detained. Attorneys declined to share the footage with STLPR, and the suit claims some data appears to have been removed during Williams' detention. The attorneys say it's part of a pattern of law enforcement officials illegally suppressing First Amendment expression. A city spokesman declined to comment on the pending litigation. The International Institute of St. Louis's CEO and president, Ario Benson, is no longer with the organization. The institute told its staff in a Friday email that the board of directors will begin searching for a new permanent leader. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports.
The immigrant and refugee organization didn't give a reason for the former president and CEO's abrupt departure or respond to a request for comment. However, St. Louis Public Radio obtained an email addressed to the Institute staff on December 6 announcing Aria Benson's departure. It says Vice President Blake Hamilton will serve as interim director and that its board will search for a permanent leader. O'Benson declined to comment. He became president and CEO in 2021 after the previous director, Anna Crossland, held the position for 42 years. While leading the Institute, O'Benson tripled its annual budget and increased the number of immigrants and refugees that it served from 1,200 to over 4,600. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
A federal jury heard from Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski Monday in the trial of former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan. Capital News Illinois reports she testified about job recommendations made by Madigan to Governor J.B. Pritzker's administration after his election in 2018. Budzinski, whose district covers parts of the Metro East, had spent years as a senior advisor to Pritzker's campaign and later in his office. The government says Madigan agreed to recommend Chicago alderman turned FBI mole Danny Solis to a lucrative state board position. They allege in exchange, Solis promised to keep introducing Madigan to real estate developers for the speaker's property tax appeals law firm. But prosecutors didn't ask Budzinski about Solis, nor did his name show up on any lists Madigan's office forwarded to Pritzker. Opponents of a voter-approved constitutional amendment to boost Missouri's minimum wage have filed a legal challenge. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman explains.
Missouri voters approved Proposition A with 57% of the vote. It raises the minimum wage to $15 an hour by 2026 and ties future increases to inflation. It also gives more workers in the state paid sick leave. A group including the state's Chamber of Commerce filed the lawsuit late last week. They say the language voters saw on the ballot was unfair because it falsely implied that paid sick leave would be for all workers. The suit says the fiscal note that summarizes costs was also unfair because it did not say that local governments could get more tax revenue due to higher wages. Unless the state Supreme Court accepts the challenge, the first minimum wage increase is set to kick in January 1st. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Missouri Department of Conservation is trying to stop the spread of chronic wasting disease, or CWD, in the state's deer population. Part of that effort, an extra hunting season in late November in areas where the deadly neurological disease has been found. Jason Isabel is the deer and elk program leader for the Missouri Department of Conservation. Many hunters rely on deer meat, but Isabel says people shouldn't eat deer with CWD.
Being such a large critter that, you know, you shoot one, two, three, or four deer, and we have a lot of deer and we have very liberal seasons, it can, you know, you can certainly put a lot of meat in the freezer to feed yourself and your family.
CWD has never been found in humans, but there are concerns that if left unchecked, it could mutate and put humans at risk, similar to mad cow disease. Visitors to the Muni should have a smoother trip from the theater's accessible parking lots to the inside of the venue starting in 2027. That's when a $3 million renovation is due to be complete. The project includes a new walkway from the Forest Park Theater's lower parking lots and a designated meetup area for patrons who receive wheelchair assistance from staff members. A $3 million gift from the Orthwine Fund will also pay for new landscaping along a waterway by the theater's east entrance that is flooded in recent years. Governor Mike Parson will leave office in January after more than 6 years on the job. He took over in 2018 after the resignation of Eric Greitens and went on to win his first and only full term to the position in 2020. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg and Jason Rosenbaum sat down for an interview with Parson, reflecting on his time as governor, including his unorthodox start in the role.
All the years of experience, I think, really prepared me for that moment. Not to say I was totally ready for it, but, you know, I had a lot of opportunities in life to run a business, to raise a family, to handle challenges that were difficult challenges from many years. And then walking here, I had experience with the legislative branch, with the budget process. So, you know, you just, it is an awakening that you've never experienced when you become governor of the state of Missouri. And I look back on it, nobody has any idea what this job's like till you sit in that chair.
One of the notable things about Missouri as you leave office is that the state's had Republican leadership since 2017, and yet by 2025, there's constitutionally protected abortion, legal marijuana, sports betting, expanded Medicaid, and a $15 an hour minimum wage. All of this happened because of the initiative petition process, something that Republicans like yourself wanted to tighten. Is that a sign that perhaps Missourians are not completely enamored with GOP policies, even if they like Republican politicians?
Well, here's what I'd tell you about a lot of those, and you can go back through different administrations, will have similar stories to talk about because of the initiative petition process, which is what leads us to this. But inaction is what always leads to the initiative petition process. And here's what I would say. If the legislative body don't act, don't come up with a solution, and this goes on year after year and is an issue people really care about, sooner or later they go to the initiative petition process and they find the way to fund that. And they go around the legislative branch.
You signed the bill that ultimately banned most abortions, including in the case of rape and incest. For our listeners, at the time, it was basically an 8-week abortion ban, but it had the trigger law, Roe versus Wade was overturned, and then Missouri banned most abortions. Given what happened with voters overturning that, do you have any regrets about signing that bill with the language that was in there?
No, I've been a pro-life governor my entire life, and far before governor, it goes back to my faith and how I believe that I think everybody should have a right to life, and I just firmly believe that. Is there a terrible situation sometimes? Yes, but fundamentally, I think the abortion issue in the state of Missouri, much like the country, it's a very divided issue. It's about a 50-50. What you do learn about the abortion issue, what I do believe, is most people have a, I want to say, their mind somewhat made up on how they feel about that issue. I don't think you change either side very much.
How do you want to be remembered as the 57th governor of Missouri, and what do you plan to do next?
I'll let the history of the state decide what I was like for a governor. I hope that people says, hey, he did a pretty good job when he was there. I'm good. I'll be content with that. I'll be happy with that. And there's nothing that I know I need anybody to slap me on the back and tell you how wonderful you are anymore. You know, I've kind of played my time in life to get to be able to do a lot of things. I've been fortunate to be able to do them. But I think the idea is just, I hope, you know, that once upon a time, somebody had to settle this state down. Somebody had to be the captain of the ship. And somebody had to get us on the right track. And I think that will be one of the things that they'll remember about this. And like I said, if somebody says I did a pretty good job, I'll be content with that. And your other part of the question?
What are you going to do next?
You know, there's a couple of things. One, I want to go home. And I'll be honest with you, I want to take a little five-year-old granddaughter to school like a normal person, like a normal grandparent. I want to do some of that. I don't have any plans. I don't want to be in the political arena anymore. I have no desires to stay in that.
That was St. Louis Public Radio Sarah Kellogg and Jason Rosenbaum speaking with Missouri Governor Mike Parson. You can hear the full interview on today's St. Louis on the Air broadcast. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.